us open with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow this Sabbath day before you, devoted servants, trusting in you. We ask you to listen to our prayers. We ask you to teach us your way. We pledge to walk in your truth. We glorify your name. And we praise you with all that we are, heart, mind, and soul. We thank you for your compassion, for your mercy. And we are humbled to be counted as brothers and sisters in your family. We thank you for guarding our way through this week now ending. We felt the safety and comfort of your Holy Spirit protecting us as we faced this world of arrogance, this world of self-serving interest. Thank you, Lord God, Father, for your goodness and forgiveness. Thank you for abounding in love to all who call your name. Hear our prayer, is our request, O Lord, as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today, I want to look at a magnificent passage. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Actually, the entire chapter of Philippians is just amazing. It's fantastic. But I want to focus in on these verses, in particular, verse 7. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Two words in this passage are my starting point. These two words in the Greek are hautoukenoō. The New International Version translates these two words as made himself nothing. The King James Version reads made himself of no reputation. In these translations, the translators attempted to provide an equivalent meaning. But in this verse, verse 7, I prefer the word-for-word translations found in most English Bibles, which translate hautoukenoō as emptied himself. Emptied himself. In the English Standard Version, which is what we have up here on the overhead, we read that Jesus emptied himself. The word-for-word literal translation of the Greek. Did Jesus empty himself of his deity? No. Paul said that Jesus, who had existed in the form of God, emptied himself of that form. Paul tells us first that Jesus did not regard equality with God something to hold on to. And second, he emptied himself. He never surrendered his deity, but he came to this earth not being recognized at the time for all that he was. The Son of God had arrived in the flesh on planet Earth without an earthly father. He who was in the beginning with God was found in human form. His glory was hidden. The man he became was not 99% man, 1% God, 1% Son of God. He was not 50% man or 50% Son of God. Jesus was 100% Son of God. He vacated heaven. He was rich beyond compare, but he gave it all up so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. We become rich through Jesus. Oh, but the demons knew who Jesus was. Jesus had to shut them up, if you remember the stories. Early in his ministry, some demons cried out, "We know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Mark chapter 1. And Jesus then had to command them to be quiet. Peter, James, and John were given a preview of the glory of Jesus on a mountainside in Mark chapter 9. Paul said that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1. And then John declared, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus took on the form of a man on this earth, and he was the example of how a Christian life is to be lived. Paul understood this. He said, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus." Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Wait a second. Jesus emptied himself. How do we do that? We all know what it is to be full of ourselves. That's when we talk about ourselves more than we listen. That's when we defend our every action rather than consider the possibility that we could be wrong. We want to excuse ourselves rather than face up to our real responsibilities. But Paul said that we need to think like Jesus. We need to relinquish our rights in contrast to today's world that promotes self-knowledge and self-understanding. This world where we incessantly hear about human rights. Yet we read in 1 Corinthians that you are not your own. You were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In other words, you belong to Jesus, and you are told to abandon your earthly desires outside of the sovereign pleasure of God. So here are a couple more verses that explicitly deal with abandoning your earthly desires. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? John chapter 5, verse 44. Emptying yourself like Jesus did is an abandonment of self that will transform you. Emptying yourself includes letting go of earthly recognition except for what God ordains. Emptying yourself includes letting go of your own righteousness. Your self-righteousness is a serious impediment to your spiritual growth. Paul said, "I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Powerful words. Think for a moment about the time when a man came up to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And how did Jesus answer? "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. That is extraordinary. Jesus is the only perfect person, and still he refused to recognize righteousness in himself. Where does that leave you and me? Just imagine if all your thoughts from the last week were flashed on a screen for people to see. That would be revealing, because none of us have totally pure motives in anything we do. Our righteousness, we are taught, is as filthy rags in God's sight. Emptying includes letting go of earthly recognition except for what God ordains. Emptying yourself includes letting go of your own righteousness. Number three, emptying yourself includes abandonment of your love of riches. Now here's something I get on people for every once in a while, especially Americans who have never been to a third world country or lived in a third world country where people are really poor. Do you think that you are not rich? Consider what you have. Do you have any friends? Do you have even one friend? Do you have a place to live? Do you have freedom to worship in a church that preaches the Word of God? Do you have income? Brothers and sisters, then you are rich. And as a Christian, you have received a gift from the Holy Spirit. And you were born with talents that just come naturally. However, if you are full of yourself, your gift from the Spirit will never be used, and your life will be wasted. Lives that could be of such great value to God are often wasted because they are full of themselves. God cannot use a person whose life is focused only on his or herself. Example, Joseph in the Old Testament. He had a gift of dreaming and interpreting dreams, and he flaunted his gift before his 11 brothers. He told his brothers they were going to bow down before him, if you remember the story of the patriarchs. I would say that was very insensitive. There was nothing wrong with his gift, but at that time, there was a lot wrong with Joseph. God has given you a gift, but if you flaunt it, you will need to be broken before you can become useful to God. Just like what had happened to the patriarch Joseph. And it's more than just money and possessions that we can misuse. We can also misuse time. That's right, T-I-M-E. Years become wasted years when we become so full of ourselves that we do nothing for the kingdom. How many people are there who are saved, yet remain only involved in themselves? When believers finally give themselves utterly to God, well, let me tell you, that can be a bittersweet moment. Why didn't I do something for God sooner? It makes us ashamed. And emptying yourself also means letting go of recognition and abandoning your reputation. Jesus did not receive any recognition of his glory until he returned to heaven. He knew he was the Son of God. He was tempted to disclose who he was. When he was spit upon and mocked and misunderstood, he still never openly disclosed his identity. He was never openly recognized during his ministry. Why? Because he knew that his deity would be recognized after his resurrection. In fact, whenever someone did recognize his deity, he said, "Don't tell anybody." So what about you? Are you anxious to receive credit for what you've done? When you do something good for another person, are you likely to broadcast it? That was not the way of Jesus. Emptying yourself means letting go of recognition. And when you are all about yourself, you will not only lose God's desired outcomes, but you won't even be looking for them. You'll just become an extension of the world. What would happen if you did empty yourself? In the short term, you would have peace and the presence of God. Jesus said, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Wonderful. Peter wrote, "Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Then the Apostle Matthew wrote, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Let go of yourself and empty yourself and be filled with the fullness of God. Leave the outcome to God, and you will find joy that will fill you beyond compare. So how do you know if you have a servant's heart? By the way you react when you are treated like a servant. Most people, when they're treated like a servant, they get very angry. Jesus emptied himself, not of deity, but of glory, and he made himself nothing. But that was not the end of the story. He emptied himself, but he did not remain empty. Something else filled the void. Paul said that Jesus emptied himself of the form of God by taking the form of a servant. What kind of a servant did Paul refer to? Paul described the servanthood of Jesus with the word doulos in the Greek. This type of a servant was at the bottom of the social ladder. Doulos means slave, a piece of property with no rights, subject to the will of his owner. Our master, Messiah Jesus, chose this human category to be his. In his culture, the doulos was considered the lowest strata of society. Jesus, who did not regard equality with God something to be held on to, emptied himself of all glory, and he went to the bottom of the scale for the matter of his earthly existence and the way of life he embraced. I think we can honestly say that Jesus set the ultimate example. One day, he even did the unthinkable act of washing the feet of his disciples. Oh my. It was, in fact, the duty of the doulos to wash the feet of his owner. Jesus, one day, shortly before his arrest, took a towel, and began to wash the feet of his horrified disciples. Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." But Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Jesus washed their feet, and then he said, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you." This is from John chapter 13. This was a powerful object lesson for the disciples. Jesus did not wash their feet to establish a new ritual for Christians to perform. It's fine if you want to do this. Rather, Jesus was showing them his mindset. Jesus was teaching exactly what Peter later wrote to the Philippians. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. The mind of a servant. As the life of Jesus unfolded in his ministry, Jesus kept putting this mindset before the disciples, before the people. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. When the mother of James and John requested a position for her sons at the side of Jesus in heaven, Jesus did not rebuke her for wanting greatness. Rather, he simply showed them the error in the way in which they wanted to achieve greatness. They wanted it handed to them. Jesus asked them, can you be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Their answer was, at the time, we can. That answer was way off target. They did not understand what they were saying. Another time, Jesus advised his disciples to sit in the seat of lowest honor at a wedding. He told them that by sitting in the back, they could be raised up rather than possibly being humiliated by assuming an exalted position for themselves to which they weren't entitled in the front. This was the lifestyle to which Jesus was called. This is the lifestyle to which you and I are called as his followers and as his servants. Jesus taught us to take on the very nature of a servant. We are living temples for God's Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are to subordinate ourselves to our master. We do well to remember the words of Paul, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. We do not live for glory, we do not live for gain. When we serve God, we are simply doing our duty as his followers. We are attentive and we are ready for God's service. But you see, that makes us vulnerable because we are transparent. We let people see that we are human. We are the real deal, the real thing. We are told that when Jesus was reviled, he did not retaliate. He left himself open. He was vulnerable. Jesus was accountable, and so are we. We are accountable. Then the ultimate accountability is that each of us will stand before God's judgment seat and give an account. Yes, the righteousness of Jesus, our Messiah, will cover us, but we will also be judged as individuals. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Yes, we will all be judged as individuals. What we did as servants of Jesus. God gives us our talents and the time we need to use them. He will call us to account for our lives. It is up to us to be ready for that demand, the demand to be accountable. God has entrusted us with stewardship. That's right, stewardship, not ownership. So you must ask yourself, how far are you prepared to go within your obedience? How willing are you to pursue God's standards rather than the standards of this world? The standards of a Christian are diametrically opposed to the standards of this world. I've entitled this message, Preferred Seating Not Allowed. When the disciples asked for preferred seating, Jesus didn't rebuke them. He just reversed their roles. He taught them, and by teaching them, he reversed their roles. Let the greatest among you be the servant of the rest. That is what Jesus did with his life. He emptied himself. He became a servant. And now he washes our lives free of sin, the sin that condemns. So the question I will leave you with today, to what extent will the marks of a servant, in Paul's words, a bond servant, which characterized the life of Jesus, be yours? To what extent will the marks of a bondservant, which characterized the life of Jesus, be yours? Sober, it's a sobering question. Amen and hallelujah.
El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kampana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, El Yonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kampana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high.